Welcome to Partnering with Parents, brought to you by the Classical Academies. Join us every other Tuesday as we educate, encourage, and support parents in their role as the primary educator.
I'm Cameron Curry, the CEO for the Classical Academies, and it's exciting to have another podcast conversation. Today, we've got a couple gentlemen with us who went recently on a Black History tour in Alabama. So, gentlemen, I'm going to let you introduce yourselves and welcome to the program.
I'm David Morningstar. I teach math and history over at the Classical Academy High School Personalized Learning Campus.
Awesome.
It was an honor to go.
And I am David Standiford, and I teach at Coastal Academy, 8th grade U.S. history. And it was definitely a pleasure to go.
Wonderful. So, David, how long have you been with the Classical Academies?
This is my 6th year at Classical Academy. I taught at Calvary Christian School for 17 years, and then I switched over to Classical, and love the organization, love the people.
Wonderful.
So it's been super awesome.
Awesome. Mr. Morningstar, how long have you been with us?
This is also my 6th year. I started with us back when, well, at least when we were Classical Academy Online, and we've moved 3 buildings since then, and it's been an amazing change every time. And so I'm used to the change, and I'm used to, I mean, when we dive into the road we trod.
Exactly.
It's all about change and being willing to be ready to be changed.
Well, we didn't want you to settle down. We wanted to move you around, so we just keep finding new locations for you. That's awesome. So, gentlemen, share with us about the trip that you took last summer and how that opportunity came about. And can you give us really kind of a brief overview of where you went and what you learned?
Well, the first city that we went to was Birmingham, Alabama. And this was, you know, what many considered the birthplace of the civil rights movement. And we, on day one, we went to what's called Kelly Ingram Park, which you've probably seen the video of children being water hosed by the police and the fire department at Birmingham. And that's the very ground that we stood on. And it was very, it was very moving to see what sacrifice children made, knowing that what was in front of them and together wanting to make a change and willing to go through that. So that was really emotionally powerful, Kelly Ingram Park. And then just a block down was the famous 16th Street Baptist Church, which there was that famous bombing in 1963 in which 4 children were killed in a Sunday school bombing. So that, and we talked to some survivors of that bombing also, and their account was very moving and very touching. And one of the ladies that we talked to who survived that and knew all the children who had died, she talked about reconciliation and hope and just restoration. That was her big thing, was restoration. Is that right, David?
Yeah, that was Dr. Carolyn McKinstry. And we met her actually within the church that was on Bombing Hill in Bombingham. So that was the term they had for it because there were so many different bombs going off because of segregation and, you know, the KKK coming around and things like that. So it was just beyond being humbled to be in that area. It was very intense. It was just being in a place where, you know, that kind of thing went on and being in that kind of history. It was just, it's kind of hard to put into words how moving just being there is and then being told the stories along with that. She actually told us, we met Dr. Carolyn McKinstry within that church that was bombed on Bombing Hill. That just bombs everywhere. Sorry.
Right. And then really trying to contrast that this is your country.
Right. And, you know, and the bombs were intimidation factors to intimidate the civil rights leaders and workers to stop protesting for, you know, what was truly theirs, you know, in the Declaration of Independence, all men are created equal. And they were, you know, wanting to assert that right that was given to them at the founding of our country. So, you know, it was very moving just going through the churches. And this is a very church-based organization. The heroes, the big three, Reverend Shuttlesworth, along with Ralph Abernathy and Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., they, you know, being the big three, the leaders of this movement in Birmingham and in Montgomery, which was the other city that we went to when we saw Martin Luther King's church and his home. And there was a sense of community that was really impacting among the people. I mean, that was huge for them, that they drew their strength from each other as they faced these challenges and opposition, you know, from city leaders. And it was hopeful. It was a feeling of hopefulness that together you can effect change.
Mm-hmm. And it's just perseverance, that hope, mm-hmm. just persevered through, and just all the things that they went through, the amount of protection that they got or lack thereof, but still ended up coming out ahead and relatively unscathed with how much went on. I can't remember the exact statistics, but it was just some insane amount of just, you know, bombings going off versus those who were actually hurt. And the one that really came up was at the 16th Street Baptist Church when the three little girls were killed. And that was the bomb heard around the world. So it was kind of, mm-hmm. it took up until that point for others in the country and even around the world to actually realize what was going on.
To finally get somebody's attention.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Mm. Was there something that surprised you, maybe you didn't even expect, as you thought, hey, I want to go on this trip. I want to learn a little bit more about my history. Or...
Mm-hmm. Well, for me, teaching 8th grade U.S. history, I teach up to around 1900.
Okay.
So I've always loved the Civil Rights era, just because of the courage, for example, the Freedom Riders who are trying to protest the restrictions on interstate travel on the buses. Just a fascinating story of bravery and courage in the face of, you know, of just unimaginable violence. But because of what I teach, I never get to that. And going to Alabama and going to some of the museums that I saw, for example, the National Memorial to Peace and Justice, it's this old warehouse that used to be a prison for enslaved persons.
Mm.
And they made a memorial, and they took these 6-foot slabs of iron, 6-foot tall by 3-foot, and there's hundreds of them, almost 1,000 of them. And as you walk through, these slabs have the name of someone who was lynched and the place where they were lynched and the year they were lynched.
Mm.
And as you're walking through it, you're going down a slope, and all these large iron slabs are at the same height. So they're starting to get suspended. So the lower you go down as you travel through all these slabs, reading the names, the date that they were killed, and the places where they were killed, they start being hung, suspended in the air.
Mm.
And it's very moving because it takes on, as you get to the end, it takes on the impression of really a person being hung.
Mm.
And it's very powerful as you're reading these and as you're standing there. And you realize, oh my gosh, in a sense, this was kind of our Holocaust.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that's what hit me.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
Yeah, on that one, it's like I was saying before, it's really hard to put a lot of this into words. It's one of those mm-hmm. where being in that place of history, even being in that place where that memorial, you know, it's
overwhelming.
It is to mm-hmm. a point. Yeah. We tried to cram, what was it, a 4-week
right.
Conference.
Educational experience.
Exactly.
Right.
Into 4 days. And so we blasted through this, but it was just, everything was chocked full of immense history. And I think mm-hmm. to get back to the question, like what surprised me the most beyond, just trying to put those into words, was just the lack of, not necessarily coverage, but it's more of like, there's a lot of these stories that I never even heard of.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so going there, listening to people who are actually in the church when it was bombed, those who dealt with the aftermath and the, you know, PTSD of being through mm-hmm. that, and hearing their story, how they learned how to cope with not only, you know, winning the civil rights movement, if you can call it winning, but mm-hmm. getting those rights back and everything like that. You'd think that that victory would be enough to kind of, you know, okay, we're good. But I mean, if we look at today's climate and things like that, like clearly there's still a lot of work to be done.
Mm-hmm.
And they still had a lot of stuff to get over, because as children, they were getting sprayed by hoses, attacked by dogs, you mm-hmm. know, mm-hmm. beat by police and things like that. The things that are in place that, you know, we lean on for protection, mm-hmm. they couldn't. And so I think it's the thing that stood out to me and that was most surprising was just how many stories there are from people that have lived through it mm-hmm. that we haven't heard.
Mm-hmm.
And then that history just being there ready to be, you know, walked through, like we went through the neighbor of Dr. Martin Luther King. They went through their house and they talked right. about how he stood here. They mm-hmm. had meetings here.
Right.
It was literally just like a hangout for the youth. And they all, I like put myself in there in my high school days. And I was like, I would want to be at this house if I was in high school. And just kind of making those connections and putting yourself literally in that place where it happened. Although time-wise, it's different. They've done a decent job of preserving what's there, but they could also, you know, we could preserve it better.
And that sense in that house, the Harris house, there was it was three doors down from where Martin Luther King's house was. They were neighbors, and it was the meeting place because it was a large house. They had a lot of bedrooms, and but just the sense of community, of welcoming people in,
was genuine.
It was so genuine. And the lady who still lives there was a little girl, and she. And she told us about an incident when Martin Luther King went to New York, and he was actually stabbed there. And she went to go say hi to him when he came back, and she saw that he was bandaged all up. And he told her, "Come here, little girl. Give me a hug. You know, I'm okay." And that was a very moving story. But just that sense of community, that sense of we're in this together. And I think that's still an important story for us, that we're in this together.
But even just, you've told a story right now that I didn't even know, that Dr. Martin Luther King went to an event in New York and was stabbed. It's like these small little details that are huge, but we don't know about them. We don't know about them.
Right. So, I mean, there was danger, I mean, every step of the way. Every step of the way. And we know the final outcome, too, but it was, it was, you know, every step of the way.
Is bravery.
It was bravery. It was fearlessness. Reverend Abernathy, totally one of the big three that we don't hear about often, but in Birmingham they do because they named an airport after him.
Okay.
So he totally expected to be killed, and he wasn't. In fact, he only died maybe 15 years ago. But you know these men. Knew what they were doing was dangerous, and they knew what the ultimate price was, and they went and did it. And that's what blew me away. That's what really spoke to me, you know. And that's American history. That's the American history that I want to teach my students.
And I think just to, I think you said Abernathy, but it should have been Shuttlesworth, correct?
Shuttlesworth. Okay, did I say Abernathy?
Yeah, no, you're good. I was mixing them up the whole time I was out there too, and like I was like just making
sure.
The big
three.
Yeah, exactly.
The
I was
big
like
three.
The big
three.
Yeah, they all three of them. Yeah. I mean, the one we hear about the most is Dr. Martin Luther King, Jr. But the other two just did so much more work behind the scenes, and he gladly took Dr. Martin Luther King gladly took on the face of the movement.
Right.
And so
they were the wind beneath his wings. Basically.
Exactly.
They were
right there.
Exactly.
Right there.
Or the wind at his back, because Shuttlesworth often complained that Martin Luther King would think about things, he would talk about them, and he would mull them over. And then Shuttlesworth was an action man. He says, we need to do this now.
Yeah. Get going.
Get going. Exactly.
So how have you been impacted, I guess, individually as an American or even as an educator by going on this trip?
I'll jump in on this one first, because just – knowing that everybody has a story, all these stories that we haven't heard about, even just from those who were literally within the history of molding this country that wasn't even that long ago, it has inspired me to try to get my students' story out more, giving them more opportunities to say, this is who I am, this is what I'm about, this is where I'm coming from, to hopefully help me not only, you know, stop my own prejudice as a teacher. You know, sometimes you look at a student, you just... you make those 2 second, you know, judgments of them and stop myself from like doing that in the first place and then learning who they are. Not only to get to know them better as a student, but as a person, and get them in the practice of knowing their own story, telling their own story, and being able to articulate that to other people to hopefully, you know, dispel any of those things when they meet somebody. Like, what are those prejudices that they have just when they meet them? And it's trying to hopefully not only help them tell their story, but learn to hear other people's stories as well.
Right. And I totally agree with that is that, and as an educator too, I've been thinking about this because, you know, how can I bring these stories to my classroom, and how can I continue that struggle for equality for all? And my conclusion is, to refocus and are really sacred texts of our country, the Declaration of Independence, the Constitution. And I would include in that text the Gettysburg Address. And also Martin Luther King's I Have a Dream speech. And I know that's been overused by a lot of people, but it is a very powerful, because in his speech, he mentions the magnificent documents that the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution are. And he's claiming that we are here still trying to claim those rights, that all men are created equal. And the Gettysburg Address, it also references the Declaration of Independence and Constitution. And I know there are others, but I think that if we focus studying those texts and applying the principles to the situations in American history, and having students analyze, have we lived up to the ideals that our country are founded on in this situation, so that students can analyze and they can see that this is a continuing struggle, that we are still challenged to meet those ideals upon which our country is founded, that all men are created equal, endowed by the Creator with inalienable rights, life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness, and that it's we, the people, in order to form a more perfect union. And what Lincoln said in the Gettysburg Address, that the government is for the people, by the people, and of the people.
Right.
That we are those people, and it's our job, and it's the next generation's job to ensure that all men are created equal. It's a continuing struggle that each generation has to take up that challenge. And that's what my students, what I want to impart to them. It's your turn next to take that up.
I feel like we need to sing the preamble now from Schoolhouse Rock. I kind of feel that right now. Yeah. Well, I want to wrap up our time together. And obviously, you know, this tour was, I think, incredibly important, not only for the people that went on the tour, but also for our community. And I have received communications from families that are concerned, like, Cameron, you sent your team, and now you're going to take this and you're going to maybe use critical race theory, or you're going to indoctrinate around it. And it's like, no, our whole reason behind this was, how do we strengthen what we're doing educationally for kids? How do we bring in more historical pieces that was probably not in our collective educational opportunities that we had growing up? I mean, what was it? Only just a couple of years ago, I learned the details of what is behind Juneteenth. Had no idea. Why wasn't that part of my middle school curriculum? Why wasn't that part of what's happening at the high school level, that I would have had some exposure to that as a young man, as I venture into life? And so what's your hope as we move forward from this conversation? What is your hope that we're going to do with this information, this tour that you took, and how will it impact our organization, yourselves, and the students you serve?
You know, I was raised thinking that this was an exceptional country. And I always thought that. And events in current events seem to dispel that idea amongst young people. And again, I just want to go back to the ideals upon which we were founded. That is the perfect antidote to some of the criticisms that we're facing. That we're the first country to ever try this experiment, to be founded on an ideal rather than be founded as an identity of a certain tribe. And we're this grand experiment. And whether it succeeds or fails, it's on us as teachers and to pass that to our students, teachers and parents, to pass those ideas to our students, and to ensure that they realize the immense responsibilities we have and they have in maintaining this idea of founding a country on the idea that all men are created equal. So that's what I take away from that.
And I hope to instill that similar ideal in our students as well, but I'm kind of from a math side.
Sure.
So it's a little bit different, because it's kind of hard to, not hard, it's just more difficult to interject the historical pieces into AP stats or math one. But when we do the stats, we can take statistics from the time, incorporate it in. And my whole thing, my hope is that I can take these pieces, maybe not do great things with them, but do the little things with them, incorporate smaller pieces in, and slowly move that needle towards you know, critical thinking and bringing these things up and bringing those stories and everything back in slowly, to a point where it's maybe not doing big things great, but doing little things greatly. Mm-hmm. And I think I stole that just now from Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.
There you
but,
go.
Just even that little piece right there, it's, I wouldn't have had that quote, or I wouldn't even be thinking about this. I'd just be stuck with the numbers and thinking numbers, 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 but then bringing everything else in and connecting all those dots. So that way, not only are they in a math class, but they can also be getting these stories or mm-hmm. learning to think critically, like, we have these numbers, but where did they come from? What do they mean? And then push it beyond just, what are we doing with these numbers?
Love that. Well, gentlemen, thank you for your time. Let's keep the hope and the dream alive.
Sounds good. Thank you.
Partnering with Parents is brought to you by the Classical Academies, a group of award-winning public charter schools serving over 4,500 students in Southern California. Suggest a future episode or advertise with us by visiting classicalacademy.com/podcast. Consider subscribing to our channel, leaving us a review, and supporting our Patreon page. Thanks for listening.